Yo, this Sesco, who this?
What's the dilly? I just touched grounds down in Philly, brought a pound with me. Fast floating around Philly, trying to find limb. Bitch supposed to be in the Benz, parked in Road 10. Hot and ass, low ho, Gwen. Should've known she was a bitch that we broke her the bone. They posted alone, the ass had us both in the zone. But you know the rules, both in school, but hold the dudes. I know the Jews, no time for them doors, too much to lose. Just trying to vibe until them hoes roll with the vibe. Where's your joy and pride? You know little death got your eyes in the cut, try.
And Lucky 225 Zor.
You're listening to the second episode of NS AT&T Radio, and apparently we only do this show once a year on special dates. Like last year we did it on 666, and this year we're following up on 777, so you never know, next year we might do it on 888. But we also have a couple special guests on.
Yo, Royal.
Somebody honking their horn in the background?
Oh, yeah, I'm outside so I can talk loud.
Okay, yeah, right. So we also have Royal and Gray Area on here. What's up, guys?
What is it?
And the sounds of my neighborhood.
And you have a new neighborhood again, huh?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm all over the place, man. So, what's going on, man? A lot has changed in a year, huh?
A lot has.
Yeah, I'm looking at the show notes. I see this cool thing called Grand Central. I don't believe we had that on 666.
No, it definitely wasn't out yet.
Yeah, I think we should definitely talk about that. As some of you may know, I believe Decoder was the one who posted on BinRev about a privatephone.com, which is basically a private phone service that allows you to have a free voicemail, and I think they give you like 20 minutes outbound calls where you can call them back from your private phone number. Basically just gives you a 10-digit phone number that's anonymous, and you can call them back, and the caller ID will be spoofed as that private phone number. Well, Grand Central kind of capitalized on that idea, except for you can actually receive phone calls for free.
And it's a lot more advanced than that, really.
Yeah, there's all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, I used to like them.
Oh, my God. Grayer.
Yeah.
Can we get to the used to's and fucking tell our people who are new to the idea of Grand Central what it's about, or what it was about, at least?
Yeah, tell them what it was about, the good old days.
All right.
2 weeks ago.
Fucking cell phone lost service again. I fucking hate that. Like, you know, I think this conference here, like, most definitely uses VoIP, because when I use a VoIP calling card backdoor to, like, to call this, it just conflicts and sounds like shit.
Well, you sound fine.
I sound fine now because I called a different conference and used three-way on my cell phone and muted my cell phone. But, like, I tried calling.
And there he goes, ladies and gentlemen. That was the death of Royal. R.I.P. That sucks. Anyways, back to Grand Central. I think we were about to start telling you all what the features were, such as receiving calls, placing calls out from your Grand Central number, all kinds of cool stuff. You can receive a call from your Grand Central number and send the person a voicemail while listening in. And then if you decide you actually want to talk to the person, you can press star to come on. And then there's this option where you can actually record the phone call, which is what we're doing right now, talking to Natus on his Grand Central number. You press 4, and bada boom, bada bang, you got NSATNT being recorded into a WAV file, which is going to be distributed as the show. Of course, you'll probably convert it to MP3 and all that goodness, but whatever.
Yeah, you can do tons of other stuff, too. You can screen calls, so people have to announce who they are when they call you. You can have it forward to... How many numbers can you have it forward to? I think there was like 5 in there or something.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. You can totally block private numbers. You can block certain caller IDs and have them go elsewhere, have them play disconnected messages, all kinds of cool stuff.
That's one of the coolest things, though, is you can, like...
One of the coolest things was the ring share, which...
No, that was gay, anyways.
Dude, the ring share...
I liked it.
Yeah.
I had some type music on mine.
Yeah. Ring share used to be you could upload any MP3 you want, and it would play it back as your ringtone while your phone was ringing.
Yeah, your ring back.
Right. And then, this is the big part of the news that we're trying to get to, trying to catch everyone up a year later. Google just bought Grand Central like a couple of days ago. They still have the ring share feature, except you cannot choose your own MP3s. You have to choose from them. And I assume they're probably going to want you to purchase them later on.
Right.
Acting like they're Verizon Wireless or something. Which is not very cool. Plus, if you're listening to the show, good luck trying to get a Grand Central number, because if you didn't get one during the beta stages, you're pretty much screwed, I think.
Yeah, that's
Did they really run out of numbers?
That's bad, though, because the beta has been going on. The beta was about to go public until Google bought them.
Well, see, the thing is, I'm seeing a really lead feature here called Visual Voicemail, like the iPhone has. They actually offer that, but the... Most of the features that they have, you have from, like, your different service providers, from DIDs and stuff anyways, when you have them going to your Asterisk box. The thing that's lead about it is that it saves your channels. You don't have to have, you know...
The thing that was lead about it was it's free and customizable from a web interface.
You're talking about Grand Central again, I assume.
Yes, well, we were getting into the features.
Yeah. Did you see the visual voicemail? Have you used that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of lead features.
So, how much do they get rid of besides the what do you call it, ring share or whatever the fuck it was?
Well, they didn't get rid of it. They just got rid of you using your own MP3s.
Yeah. They like some weird stuff. Like...
So what, you have to choose from, like, custom ones or what?
Yeah, you have to choose from their free ones, and I assume, this is just an assumption, but I'm assuming Google is going to start being like $3.99 for your own lead ringtones, you know, like acting like they're Verizon Wireless or frickin' Sprint or T-Mobile.
You know, this is what, like, people should have done. Though. Like, hello?
Yeah, you're still here.
Oh, sorry. I'm so fucking tired. If I fucking get cut off again, I'm fucking making a conference and using the dial feature to get back in here, because I'm not going to fuck around with this shit. I'm fucking pissed the fuck off, like, right now. Like, I can't fucking make a decent fucking phone call anymore.
Yeah, which brings us into our next topic.
What's that?
Telme was bought by Microsoft.
That's really? Correct.
Yeah, $800 million.
No, that's not how much it was. It was between $800 million and $1 billion. They didn't disclose the exact amount.
I know they had an $80 million credit with fucking AT&T. Because the president liked to order pizzas from his phone or something.
What are you talking about, Greg?
I'm just saying. He had an $80 million credit with AT&T. You know that.
Who, Microsoft did?
No.
Or Telme?
Telme.
I see.
But then they started doing, like, voice application shit for Verizon. So, kind of got pissed off about it.
Anyway, I'm really pissed off at Telme. I'm extremely fucking pissed off at them.
Yeah, bought by Microsoft, Grand Central gets bought by Google, I don't know, can we say Big Brother?
You know what, I was actually thinking that earlier today, Lucky, when I was driving, because I was thinking, when I was talking to my friend from my voicemail box, because I used to always call people from my voicemail box.
You're talking about Grand Central.
Right. When I was calling and the call just died and I tried to call right back through and it's like, you're out of credits, and I'm like, what is this credit fucking shit? And I got pissed, And I started thinking, you know what? As soon as I get home, I'm going to send this Craig guy some freaking feedback. I'm going to be yelling at him like he fucking sucks. And I was like, oh, my. Google bought them. They're probably going to go through my email now and wherever else Google fucking owns.
Yeah, who knows what's going to go on now that Google bought Grand Central? You're probably going to be logged into your Gmail. Someone's going to be calling you on your Grand Central, and like a little Google Talk message is going to pop up with a caller ID talking about like, "Hey, do you want to send this shit to voicemail or what?"
Yeah, jeez.
I love Google, but I'm kind of fearing them owning a television.
Yeah, they really are starting to act a lot like Microsoft buying out all these companies all of a sudden, you know.
Yeah, now all we got to do is wait for Microsoft to buy out Google, and it'll be complete.
Yeah, won't that be nice?
Microsoft.
Maybe the other way around. I'd much rather like it the other way around, but then again, maybe not.
Well, so what has Microsoft done with TellMe? I mean, have they really changed anything?
I believe TellMe Driving Directions is now sponsored by Microsoft, what was it, frickin' Street? Maps or whatever.
Actually, when TellMe first came out, they actually told you, after you chose the driving directions feature, that it was powered by Microsoft MapPoint technology. And I actually once found it. I found the website for Microsoft's MapPoint technology using a Google search. And yeah, like what I would notice is that anything I looked up on the web and anything I looked up on through TellMe's voice portal would give me the exact same directions. So yes, they most definitely should still be using Microsoft MapPoint technology.
Yeah, but this was previous to Microsoft buying them out. What's the point? Why? Microsoft just... which one is bigger, Microsoft or Google? I mean, like... Everything's coming to an end. You know what else? You know what else since 666 that we haven't talked about yet? Frickin' Verizon buying out MCI.
Yeah, that's right, the Verizon-MCI merger.
Singular, bought out by AT&T when it was already AT&T.
I was just going to make an analogy. I mean, we're already getting to the point with Microsoft and Google. Now it's basically between the two major ILECs. You got Verizon and you got AT&T. You know, AT&T, you know, using their manipulating tricks to become a local exchange carrier, not just a long-distance carrier, you know. So now we got AT&T after they bought out SBC, and we got Verizon, and they merged with MCI recently. And, I mean, I'm really feeling...
Oh, but remember, these are all not the same businesses because one of the AT&Ts has lowercase letters, so, you know, that's not the same subsidiary and
That's strictly for logo purposes.
Yeah, that's logo only, that's right. If you type it in text, you still have to use capitals. But I know, like, a couple Tandem offices that me and a couple friends visited around here in Massachusetts. I mean, you look on them, they used to have the old capital-lettered AT&T logo, and like now, just recently, they were replaced with the lowercase logo.
That's marketing.
Really, I don't know. It just kind of creeps me out because I don't trust AT&T as far as I could throw them, and I wouldn't be able to throw them at all. So that really tells you much.
Operators, dude. I have AT&T local operators here now.
Yeah, and not to mention, TellMe's previous affiliation with AT&T, which is now owned by Microsoft. So I mean, where is this freaking going?
Well, the thing, people don't understand why people hate AT&T. They're like, it's just a fucking phone company. Get over it. Like, people that are, quote, normal out there, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, I have reasons why I hate AT&T.
I think a lot of people, and you don't have to know all this inside bullshit. I mean, like, really, like, you just got to understand, like, I mean, it's all the public stuff that you see in the media that really will get you to rouse. I mean, if you have AT&T wireless, you know, just
what
look
it comes
at,
down to is niceness. Like, you know, go to a freaking Quest operator, like a Quest territory, and dial the operator and ask them for the time in Japan nicely. They don't know, but they'll bust out a fucking phone book and they'll calculate that shit for free. Go anywhere else where you get an AT&T operator, be it a local operator, a long-distance operator, whatever, and ask them for the time in Japan. They'll be like, all right, we're going to transfer you to 411. We're going to charge you for it. We're not going to tell you. We don't care.
Right.
They're rude about it.
Actually, that's been talked about before on another show, and it's true. AT&T will want to charge you just to know what time it is. Even if it's your local time, they will charge you.
By default, they want to charge you.
They want to charge you.
If you're not fucking special.
Always on default.
Yeah. if you're not
freshly. Yeah, not to mention Verizon does the same exact thing in regards to looking up prefixes. They go, oh, you want to look up a prefix? Well,
they're rude about it.
Yeah, hold on for 411.
That's pretty funny. And actually, just a little side note, remind me to give – I have found a little trick in getting free directory assistance with Verizon. I want to bring that up sometime during the show. I think our listeners would like to know about that. But anyway, I never actually tried to look up a prefixes information with Verizon operators or directory assistance before. Only area codes, and usually they'll do that for free if you want to know, like – what state is every code like 909 in, and they'll be like, oh, it's California, you know.
I recall doing that when I was in Boston.
You didn't do that? Well,
no, I recall doing that in Boston.
Oh,
for recording for Avid. He was looking for
I know before I had a computer at home for a while.
Oh, pretty hand tandem with recordings.
Yeah, if I didn't have my telephone directory near me, and before I had a computer, I would do that often. I would call the operator and ask them what an area code was in.
All right, well, Let's stay on topic
back on topic
and go back to hating on AT&T. After all, the frickin' name of the show is NSAT&T, which was created by our hatred of AT&T for your world delivered straight to the NSA. And let's bring up the new topic of the iPhone. Everybody needs an iPhone, yo.
Oh, my God. I just had a conversation about that. I just got back from Boston 2600, and we were talking about how much we all hate the iPhone.
there was
some snooty bitch in a store. Apparently, my friend, the kid who goes there, he was just telling the story about how this bitch walks in, over some rich bitch, and she walks up to the front and tries to get an iPhone. And she wanted to get like two or so of them, and she's like, oh, I'm just going to sell them on eBay. And the guy refused to give her more than one. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, that's your only choice of a carrier, right? AT&T.
Yeah, that's correct. Now let's let Natus here, sorry to cut you off again, Natus, but let's let him give his positive, freaking not negative, what is that called? What were they trying to bring up in the Senate last week? The Fair Doctrine Act. Let's hear the fair side of this story.
The fair side is that visual voicemail is fucking badass, and every phone should have that shit.
Yeah, I just noticed Grand Central has that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. But have you guys seen the Super Caller ID that it almost has? It's like almost a Super Caller ID function. Where it's not actually during a call, but if you go to, after a call, if you go to your recent calls and you click on a call for more information, it'll show you, if the call's not in your address book, it'll show you, the city and state. So there's obviously, a prefix database on there, an NPA, NXX database.
Well, Sprint phones do that.
All telephones do that.
Sprint phones do it, from what I've been told, but no other phones do. Altel has a service called Enhanced Caller ID where it does that, and they charge you $4 a month for it. But the iPhone has a database on there.
Interesting, because Broadway, as an example, they don't subscribe to CNAM services, mm-hmm. So anything that goes out of their network is always going to be the rate center or possibly like a silly or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, anyway.
The actual phone gets that? For the inbound, though?
Yeah, I tried one number. I tried my friend's cell phone in California. It's a Nextel number, and it just came up. It didn't come up with a city and state, but it just came up northern Los Angeles area, which is exactly where it was because it wasn't right in L.A.
When do you think cell phones are going to get CNAM?
Hopefully
never.
Wasn't there one carrier that had it before?
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
There's carriers that set it.
Yeah, you can set the CNAM for outbound calls, but not receive it on your actual cell phone.
Yeah.
By the way, I do that with Cricket all the time, too.
But back to hating on the iPhone. Let's see here. First day, a quarter of the phones couldn't be activated.
That was an AT&T issue, though, so hate on AT&T.
Yeah, well, it's still gay. Anyways, let's see. $80 to get your battery replaced because they solder it into the phone?
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
Gotta be kidding me. Jesus.
Consumer people are all over that, like in the consumer activism.
Yeah, and Apple admits that after 300 to 400 charges, your battery may need to be replaced.
So it's a couple of years.
I wonder what the troubleshooting is on that phone. I used to troubleshoot phones like back in the day for like MCI and Sprint and you know, AT&T.
All the troubleshooting is handled by Apple. You don't call AT&T if you have.
Let's see, what else here do we got here in the show notes? Natus, you said the iPhone has already got the shit hacked out of it. Now, are you talking about this prepaid stuff or something else?
There was an activation process. Well, the activation process that gave everybody so many issues was hacked, and it's really weird. I don't really understand how it works, but, like, you have this fake activation server, and you go in and edit some shit, and apparently it's, like, one step closer to being unlocked now. So you'll actually be able to bring it over to T-Mobile or something and get cheap data, because that's really like the high, that's really like the selling point of the iPhone, is all the being able to do everything over Wi-Fi or Edge.
Apparently, you were saying in the activation process, if you enter an invalid social, such as all nines, this will cause the credit check to automatically fail you. And it will present you with the option for a GoPhone plan, and this allows you to have an Apple freaking iPhone that's prepaid and anonymous.
Yep, because that's not something that they wanted to offer for a really long time. They didn't want prepaid iPhones, and, you know, they wanted to lock you into the two-year contract, and that was, like, a huge thing. So if you want a prepaid one, you just want to screw around with one for, I don't know, a couple months or something. Like, I want to get one just so I can test out a couple things, and so I think I'm going to do the prepaid.
Yeah, and then just stick it up on eBay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah,
so many people were freaking out.
I don't understand the battery, because, you know, how are you going to do, like, a hard shock on that thing?
What?
I sort of really wonder how the troubleshooting, like, done on that.
Yeah, what, because you can't take the battery out?
Right. It's like a second-level reset, some people call it, or like a hard shock. You can, like, have it powered on and pull the battery out while it's turned on.
Or they want their consumers to bring it over to a technician.
Yeah, I can see it now. Untrained, freaking singular, now new AT&T wireless employees troubleshooting on an iPhone and not looking at the account holder's information to see what type of phone the account holder has. Okay, I'm going to ask you to take the battery out of the phone.
Right.
I could just...
Stupid now. It's probably like you stick a pin down a hole or something.
Yeah, but I don't know if you've ever dealt with AT&T wireless over the phone, calling them up, asking them about a feature issue on your phone. Regardless of if it's a network-based feature such as voicemail or anything else, AT&T reps always advise you to take the battery out of the phone and hard reset it. So I can just see the customer service calls coming in and AT&T reps not looking at the account to see what type of phone it is and just telling the customer, okay, I'm going to need you to take the battery out of the phone, and the confused customer trying to figure out how to take a battery out. So, yeah.
Talk about spoofing.
Yeah, spoofing.
The big topic. 2007, it's all over the news.
Yeah, caller ID spoofing.info.
My mom actually asked me about the shit the other day. Spoofing.
Your mom asked you about spoofing.
Tons of videos.
Yeah, she's like, what are those people doing? They're calling the SWAT team to people's houses? I'm like, yeah, mom, they're noobs. They're fucking...
Yeah.
2007, trying to be made illegal. And there's more and more providers popping up for some reason.
It's illegal in the state that I'm in.
Weird.
It's illegal in your state?
Yeah, in this state.
Where are you, Alaska? The last I saw, Alaska and Florida were the only ones that have bills.
No, I'm in Oklahoma currently.
There's a state law specifically against caller ID spoofing?
Right, that's what I'm being told by everyone I know here.
That's interesting.
I want to state that as a fact. We should look that up after the show and post whether or not it's a fact. I don't think there's any state law against spoofing in Oklahoma.
It's supposedly something that was passed. I don't know. But I don't understand it. I don't
Never heard
understand
of that.
How it's legal.
I mean, so I know that's...
Yeah.
The only like law like that was known for a while was like, I forget what state it was, but you know, it's illegal to place a call to a residential customer without the intent of communication. So if you call someone and hang up or whatever, that's illegal, which makes scanning illegal and stuff. But I've never heard of a caller ID spoofing like law.
Yeah, it's like when you falsify who you are or something like that.
That's interesting.
But the thing that what I don't get is like, what is it, where your phone is, where the call originated, or where the switch that I don't understand, because my phones are going over like, you know, WAN to another server in a different state, which then routes the call out like a fucking PRI. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it has the shit set. I don't understand.
Lucky.
Yes.
So what's up with the Truth in Caller ID Act 2007?
Yeah, what is up with it? According to the Senate's website, the current text does not have the intent provision, which was passed in the House. The bill that passed in the House had an intent provision which said, you know, it will be illegal to manipulate caller ID with the intent to defraud or cause harm. Yet the Senate bill that's posted online does not have that provision. Yet that's the only way it even passed in the House. If you go and you read the commentary when they voted to pass it, everybody commented on the fact that there are legitimate reasons to spoof caller ID, both for businesses, victims of domestic violence, et cetera, et cetera. And they said, you know, this bill is going to go up after the people who are doing bad things with spoofing caller ID, and basically analogized it. I don't even know if that's a word, but basically made the analogy that caller ID spoofing is a tool, just like a knife, you know, like you can use a knife for cooking, which is good, or you can use a knife for killing, which is bad, and they're basically only going to go after people that have the intent to defraud or cause harm. But then, when we got to the Senate version of the bill, which was supposed to be the same exact bill passed by the House, the text was mysteriously removed.
Really?
Yeah, but then I talked to somebody, and it did show up in later revisions.
Yeah, but it's still not currently showing that on the Senate's website. But
right, so there's been a lot of misinformation lately, and there were like a bunch of stories that came out about it last week.
And here's some information that I was actually, I've been waiting just for the show to even tell you about. Have you heard about the other act, which is the Phone Act of 2007, which stands for Preventing Harassment Through Outbound Number Enforcement?
Yep.
Along
the same lines.
Right, and that one has passed in the House as well and will be heard in the Senate. And that one was pretty much the same thing that said, you know, with the intent to cause harm or the intent to defraud. But it also had a provision which stated it would be illegal to falsify the caller ID of an actual person or a business entity with the intent to impersonate that person or business entity or to conceal one's true identity, which goes a little further than the Truth in Caller ID Act by actually making it illegal to impersonate someone by spoofing the caller ID.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, why would they have two, though? I don't think they're going to pass two of them. They're probably going to, like, pick or choose one, you know, and it seems like the Truth in Caller ID Act is the one with the most momentum, you know?
Well, I think that's just because of the title of it. Like, the whole Phone Act of 2007, I guess, doesn't ring a lot of... It's not ringing a lot of bells, but to be honest with you, as much as I advocate caller ID spoofing, I think there are legitimate purposes for it.
Right.
I think the Phone Act of 2007 is a better bill for the fact that it makes it illegal to spoof caller ID of other residential customers and businesses and thereby impersonating those people without their consent. And the bill has a consent provision. So, I mean, like, for instance, if I wanted to call someone from your cell phone number, Natus, as long as you gave me consent to do that, you know, I could go ahead and do it. But I'm sure you wouldn't want me spoofing your cell phone number to a bunch of people, you know, and them calling you back and being like, yo, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so basically it's going to put an end to phone phishing, it's going to put an end to pretexting and prank calls. but it's not going to shut down caller ID spoofing providers.
Correct.
People aren't realizing that. Everybody thinks caller ID spoofing is going to come to an end. You're not going to be able to get it anywhere. You're not going to be able to do it at all.
No, it's just going to be illegal to use it. Basically, like you said, the phone fish, the social engineer, the pretext, you know, just basically impersonating, which is what a lot of these people are doing, is impersonating other people.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff in itself is its own crime already, you know, like phone phishing, that should pretty much be illegal.
Right.
People are already.
That act I talked about in Oklahoma that did pass by the House of Representatives and was approved by the governor and goes into effect November 1st, 2007.
Really?
Yeah, it was passed by the Senate on April 30th and the House of Representatives on the 19th of April and approved by the governor of the state of Oklahoma on May 7th. And they call it the Anti-Caller ID Spoofing Act.
So it will be illegal on November 1st of 2007 to spoof caller ID in Oklahoma.
Yeah, it says, like, Section 3, new law, a new section of the law to be codified into the Oklahoma statutes of Section 776.22 of Title 15, unless there is created duplication of numbering, read as follows. As used in Anti-Caller ID Spoofing Act, one caller means a person who places a call by telephone or over a telephone line, even if the person begins the call on a computer. It's talking about just sending false information.
Weird.
Talk about
interesting.
False information means data that misrepresents the identity of the caller to the recipient of the call, except when a person making an authorized call on behalf of another person inserts the name, telephone number, or name and number. So that kind of makes it up for businesses to be okay for them.
Oklahoma's sketchy.
Yo, I want the full text of that so we can...
I just emailed it. I just IM'd you it.
All right, cool.
CallerIDSpoofing.info.
Yeah, definitely.
That definitely needs to be out there. Yeah, I'm going to pimp my site right now, too. I got a whole site dedicated to CallerID spoofing information. And it's CallerIDSpoofing.info. You can check it out. There's a whole history.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend. I actually read through the entire site. That was a very nice site. I definitely enjoyed my stay, so yeah.
Yeah,
check that out.
And that's all one word, www.CallerIDSpoofing.info.
Word. Hey, so what's up with the anti-caller ID spoofing stuff? Have you guys seen PDXUSA.net?
Oh.
Yeah, it's the best website ever. It's so web 2.0.
Oh, God.
By best, you mean,
It's all Ajax. It's all, like that took some serious venture capital to make that website.
Yeah. I don't know.
The best part is that the dude who's running it, or one of like the engineers there or something, is just spamming it all over the internet.
Yeah, it's being spammed all over the place. And what's weird about it is, if you go to the forums and you look at feature suggestions and whatnot, it talks about how like this feature is not yet implemented. It should be implemented by the end of 2008. Like, okay, where in the hell is the sign up on that website? Does this guy even have any actual customers? And this guy spams on all these boards talking about how he's going to put a test number in place which will read your billing telephone number as well as your calling party number and, like, all kinds of other stuff. And this test number has never appeared.
Yeah, I think he's scared because I know you know, but there's, like, some tests I want to do on that shit.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, I'm predicting that it's a hoax. I would like to believe otherwise, because me and Gray Area definitely want to do some tests on any of his test numbers that he'd like to put out. You know,
I feel very confident that we can fool the system, not a problem.
Yeah, definitely. But like I said, I mean, he posts on the PLA. Oh, we're going to have a test number up soon. That was, like, way back in early June. He's posted on the spoofcard.com forums about how he's got a test number. First, he pretended to be someone else talking about, yeah, I found this test number in Arizona, da-da-da-da-da. And then, like, but never posted any actual phone number. And then he comes back talking about, like, oh, we'll put the test number back up later, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. In theory, what he's talking about makes sense, though. Like how they're going to authenticate ANI.
Yeah, yeah. I had a lengthy discussion on their forums about whether or not transmitting billing telephone number to the end user was against the law or against the trap and trace rules of Title 18. And it turns out that I was actually wrong. I found some court documents that actually show that there is a consent provision in trap and trace that if a user consents to the service, i.e. the telephone company is performing the trap and trace and the user of that service consents to the phone company to provide that trap and trace information to them, then it's not illegal. Whereas you would think the calling party would have to consent to it as well. It was determined in a court case that consent was a one-party type of consent, like one-party consent on telephone call recordings, and that only the person receiving the caller ID information has to consent. So apparently he can transmit billing telephone number information, and he's honoring the FCC's rules where if there's a private flag, he will not send either the billing telephone number or the calling party number. He will just send blocked. So I don't know.
Wait a minute. He's supposed to still send the calling party number to, like, or he's not sending it to another telephone company, though, right?
He's just sending it to the end user.
Off his network?
Right, unless you do call forwarding.
He is the telco, right? Like,
right, he's supposed to be a telephone provider.
What's the name of their company?
It's PDX USA.
Are they registered in Arizona? Did anyone look that up?
Are they
like an LLC or something?
They're a VoIP provider, right, Lucky? Because he talks about Cisco's 7960s.
Right, well, they're supposed to be like a telecommunications provider that will send everything over voice over IP to its customers, as well as give them DIDs and call forwarding features and all kinds of other nonsense. But the thing is, nobody's come forth and confirmed that they are an actual member of this PDX USA or a customer thereof.
Yeah.
And as far as we can tell, he's just spamming the website. I don't know if he's trying to make money off Google Ads or something, but...
I'm surprised he hasn't got banned off some of those websites.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've edited a bunch of their posts on BinRev because, I mean, it's obvious they're just spamming their links all over.
Yeah, I don't think this guy's thinking everything thoroughly. And sorry I got disconnected. It took me a bit to get back in here.
But, yeah.
Hey, Lucky, have you seen phonemyphone.com?
Phone my phone.
phone.com.
What is that? Enable people to phone you anonymously or something?
It basically like DOSes your phone.
Really?
Jesus Christ, are you serious?
Yeah, it's been out for a while. It was on like a lot of big websites, like I think it was TechCrunch even. And so you can put in your number. It's supposed to be for like callback reminders. So you put in like a date and a time and it'll call you back and, you know, remind you about something. But for some reason the site lets you play up to 10 calls. So, I mean, you just get call after call after call after call.
Oh, so you mean, okay, I almost thought you meant SMS-wise, but if you're talking about
it's a phone
buddy calls.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of like fax blasting. Remember fax blasting?
No, is it like that, other service that was offered by, what was it? That one that, like, was call me in the future or whatever, and it would, like, speak the caller ID or whatever.
Oh, those cheesy ones? Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Will it read your IP address off?
No, I don't think so.
You know, he totally reminded me. I have, like, future calls, and I don't even know what the hell fucking numbers they're calling into. And I don't even remember when.
That's funny. Do you remember fax blasting back in the day, Lucky?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All I know is a lot of that stuff was going on, especially with voice XML applications a while ago when people would program in a loop on an up dial and stuff like that. I remember hearing about a lot of stuff like that. So
right.
It looks coming back with these new services.
Yeah, it's nothing new. Me and Savant did our Astros.annoy stuff. I did that like a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Plus Astros.annoy. Let's not forget about that one.
That was over a year ago, like probably 16 months ago, 18 months ago.
Yeah, I had some of my friends using that had some girls that were bothering them. They were like, nice.
Oh, what about this PC World article, Sami number 2 impersonation, huh?
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Those people are on, like, CNN or something. No, it was like ABC. And
this hoax has already been done 10 years ago by that kid named Sami. Now, I'm wondering, did you ever hear the outcome of Sami?
No.
The kid confessed that it was him doing it, despite the fact that the parents were sitting there going, "Oh, our son would never do that." Well, the son seemed to mysteriously never be around the parents whenever the Sami stuff was going on. This kid confessed, and he said the reason he did it was he had no other way of telling his parents that he was a homosexual.
So what was he doing, though? Was he doing the same stuff? Was he like...
Yeah, same exact thing. The Sami kid, what he would do is he'd call his parents, tell them, you know, exactly what they were doing, and he'd be... Basically, like, it would sound like he was burping or whatever, you know. He'd be like, "Hey, this is Sami. What's up?" You know?
I don't understand. Yeah, what was he, well, I've never heard of what you guys were talking about.
Oh, well, this Sami kid, this was a case that happened in Canada where this kid...
Oh, not the recent one, though.
Well, hold on. Let me go into the old one first.
Okay.
The Sami guy would basically, he'd turn off his parents' electricity. You know, he'd turn off the phones, he'd cut into the phones, and he'd call the police and make prank calls, and, you know, all kinds of stuff being done from his house, except he had his family convinced that it was someone else doing all that, someone tapping into the phone, cutting the electricity off. And basically this girl in Washington is doing the same exact thing. Everybody knows it's the daughter, yet nobody can actually pinpoint it to her actually being her.
Dude, there's this kid, Chris Preston, in Scottsdale, Arizona, that was I used to be friends with, and this kid wigged out. And there was this girl that, I'm not going to say her name because I'm really good friends with her, but he was doing that to her for years, and no one could prove it was him. And then, like, he would call and say, like, really, like, nasty shit to, like, the girl's mom. But one time he, like, broke into her house and was, like, in her room and shit, and then, like, finally... They found out it was him because of a payphone that he called from, and you know they already had like an investigation going and shit because it was just going on for so long. And
yeah, that's
they found
messed
out.
Up though. This is like some stuff that they're talking about. That I mean, they're saying that their camera phones are being used to record them.
Yeah, like this little girl is harassing the neighbors in the area as well, and like
that the person's turning their phone back on when it's off. Remotely.
Yeah, it's a bunch of BS, though. I'm telling you it is.
But
the neighbors are trying to say that they have to put a piece of tape over the camera so that the person cannot see what's going on. You know, it's all a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
And I'm just waiting for the girl to come out and say she's a lesbian.
Dude, the girl's actually kind of hot, though.
Yeah, but she's a lesbo, dude. I mean, she's doing Sami stuff.
Yeah, I know, but if you watch that video... Oh, let's give the URL. It's tinyurl.com/YTS646.
Yeah, that's Y as in yellow, T as in Tom, S as in Sam, 646.
Word. And check out the blonde. She's the one. She's a nut job, but she looks all right.
All right, now, what is this about switch hacking?
Are we going to mention that?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Come on, you don't know about that one dude who we don't know who is hacking the switch?
No, I don't, but anyways.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
Well, all I'm going to say, you're obviously going to have to speak on a hypothetical level here, whatever this could possibly be.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think this might be, like, from the future even.
What? It says something about Telnet? What, people are hacking into switches over Telnet now?
No, it was just funny because thinking about switch hacking, like, that's what got me into freaking back in the day. Because I used to read Usenet, like, I used to read the 2600 freaking list or whatever it was. And right on there, if you go back, you'll find it. But somebody posted, like, the Telnet, like, the IP address, the login, and the password for a DNS.
Oh, yeah, I remember that a long time ago. It was DMS in the middle of nowhere.
I think a lot of, they use Telnet a lot with, like, logging into different nodes between central offices and switching equipment.
Yeah, well, you think
I know, I'm pretty sure they use that, so that doesn't surprise me much.
Yeah, I mean, this is 2007. They should be using SSH, and they shouldn't be And the whole, like, if you read the post, the follow-up, apparently the kid got the information, got the login and the password by sniffing the Wi-Fi network. So people were just logging in through Telnet over that and, you know, unencrypted passwords, usernames.
Interesting.
Wow.
So it's pretty cool that people are still hypothetically hacking switches. And my favorite quote, owning a landline telephone switch is nothing new. It's just that not many people have the skills to do it anymore. And it's definitely true.
Word.
Yeah.
So shout out to that guy who's hypothetically hacking switches from the future.
Don't even know what you're talking about, but all right. FCC bullshit recently shut down 39 rural ILECs in Iowa.
Did you see that?
Whoa.
That was just posted
that's what
a
happened?
Days ago.
39 CLECs? What are you talking about, bro?
I have like hundreds of numbers in Iowa.
Well, they're probably gone.
I have an agreement, though. There's supposed to be, like, recordings and shit in place if something
your
happens.
Your agreement
I
is
no
longer honored when the FCC takes it from AT&T and
really?
Follows up with them. Does whatever they want. Because that's probably what it is here.
That's exactly.
You know what? I've actually gotten a telephone call from that provider. Not AT&T, but the one that I have an agreement with. Randomly. Like, the actual CEO called me, like, probably 5 times one day. Randomly. And then I get a call from Washington, D.C., I like didn't answer any of the calls. I'm like, what's that all about? So then I call back, you know, the one number from Iowa, and it's the CEO of that.
TRXL.
She like, yeah, the telco, and he's all like, yeah, I just wanted to let you know that some stuff is happening, and we're not going to be able to get the check out until later this week. I wanted to let you know that. I'm like, okay, well, good thing you called because for some reason I'm getting money from. You know, another telephone number on your switch that's going to one of my friends' like conference line, and you guys should probably cut them the money for that, and you know, take it from me or something, because I don't know why you guys are giving me money off of one of your other clients that I just so happen to know.
Are you talking about that PBX?
Yo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, so Lucky, tell people.
I don't know what happened with that, but what happened with that, Lucky? What, I don't understand.
Hold on. One at a time. One at a time. What, Natas?
Okay. Tell everybody, like, the background of this so people listening know what we're talking about.
I know nothing.
Shut up.
No, there's just, you know, with termination fees, you want me just to explain, like, termination
yeah,
fees?
Yeah, just go ahead and explain it, because I'm
okay. Yeah, well, since voice over IP came, in fact, you know, people are able to register different SIP servers that are running on Linux and have connectivity to, like, Internet. So these different, the way that the rates are set up for the telephone companies do business, when, you know, someone places a telephone call, T-Mobile as an example, into, you know, another telephone company, it goes over the long distance network, AT&T, and then AT&T has to pay the switch that it terminated to for amount of time that it terminated there because it's not passing through their equipment. So what these CLECs and ILECs did in Iowa, they get like 14 cents a minute from fucking AT&T to connect the call. Is that what it is? Something like that?
I don't know, like, how much it is. Was it really?
Yeah,
that
it's
much?
A lot of money. A minute that they get to charge AT&T for the calls. They started giving out free DIDs and set up agreements with different people and routing calls, you know, converting it from, you know, TDM to SIP and then just sending the calls over the internet to the other servers. So people could have, like, failovers or whatever, just free DIDs in general, you know. And people get paid for the agreement, some of that money, but they don't get all of it, obviously. And all those minutes just rack up a lot of money over time. That's just the way telephone companies do business in the background. And people are just spamming it, just, you know, calling out toll-free because you get toll-free origination.
See, that's the thing,
though.
People end users weren't abusing it. I mean...
I know a lot were, dude. You could not place any telephone calls out through some of them. I mean, like, they have this one particular provider. I think they have, like, 12 T1s going out to INS, which is, like, the Iowa whatever it stands for. But the calls were horrible sounding at one point just because there's so many toll-free calls going out.
I mean, it sucked, though, because it was really cool that they could offer stuff like this. And then AT&T started crying because they started having to pay, like, I think one of the, like, $1 million a month, basically, they were paying. Like, people were setting up so much stuff that they were paying $1 million a month. And it was cool, though, because people would, you know, you could set up Astros stuff, and you get a kickback. Like, I think I made, like, a couple $100 off TRXL, setting up conference services and stuff for people to use.
Right.
Yeah.
And then AT&T was crying, and then we got on to our next thing, which was Texmarks.
Yeah. Have you heard about that, Lucky?
I have not. I just started reading the show notes, and I'm fearing my balls off.
Yeah, so Texmarks.com, it's a free SMS short code, and the short code's 41411. And so what they do is they basically give you, like, a sub code, so you can send something, you can send, like, a, you can set up applications to run on their short code. And a good example is Bellsmine. Not Theory set up a bunch of little applications. So what you do is you send, like, the word sub, S-E-B, Bellsmine to 41411, and it subscribes you to Bellsmine updates via SMS. So you can do all kinds of cool stuff with, like, texting in, and then you can basically set up, like, a little web, like, a bunch of web applications. And
now, here's my question about it. Mm-hmm. Every time I see one of these stupid five-digit codes, it's like 99 cents plus regular text messaging rates. Is it going to cost you 99 cents to send a text message to 41411?
Nope, it's free. I think they do offer, like, you can contact them and you can set up a premium service. So you could set up a premium, like, code under their short code. And but people would have to they would probably have to do something where they agree to the payment.
Right, right. Like,
do you bill annually?
Like text joke one to 41411, and then it probably text the reply saying, are you sure you want to subscribe?
Right, right. It's just like with 900 numbers. They give you, like, by law, they have to give you so much time to disconnect if you don't want to be charged. And I'm pretty sure the same goes with those short codes. I actually have a prepaid phone. It's a track phone, and I use it for text messaging only because receiving is free. And this one doesn't actually block me from actually sending messages to these short codes, even if they're premium. But, yeah, I always get a text message back asking me if I, you know, if I will consent to the charges. So, obviously, I'm sure that if there was a premium service at 41411, it would, you know, require you to consent to the charges first. So I don't think you'd have anything to worry about if you sent a text message to the wrong short code anyway.
I am so setting that up tomorrow. I've wanted to do this for a long time. I'm setting that up to where I can talk to myself. I can send a text message to that, and it'll reply back with, so what are you doing? And I'll reply back right back to it, and it'll come back and just talk.
Yeah, this goes back to Natus's idea of setting up text sex.
What?
Man.
Natus, didn't you coin this? Didn't you coin the term text sex, where you were going to set up, like, a short code and people could, like, you know, talk to females, except they're actually talking to your Astro server, and you know, it's like, oh baby, I am the hot source.
Shut up, oh my god,
that'd be pretty good.
You really think you're going to get a kick off with that kind of talk?
Oh yeah. It's a pretty sick service, though, because short codes, if you get a dedicated short code, they're not cheap. I've looked up prices before, and they're around $1,000 a month. So
that's really good.
To be able to piggyback onto this one short code is pretty cool. It's a pretty good short code, too. Pretty easy to remember.
I'm glad you found that.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad to know that. That's new on me. I only remember that conversation earlier about that short code with Bellsmond, and I was wondering where that came from.
Yeah, same here. That was, like, I saw it, and I freaked out. I was like, how did not Theory get a short code? Because
I saw that.
Wait, what?
Like,
is there a short code for Bellsmond?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 41411, and then you type sub Bellsmond.
Yeah, but there's all kinds of other ones, too. Like, you can submit numbers through text message and stuff, like, for the number database.
Yeah, he's got to get that that AIM. I miss the Bellsmind AIM AIM bot that he had, where you could just query.
AOL changed a bunch of stuff, so it didn't work.
Oh, did they?
Because I had a bunch of them, too. I had, like, an automated back spoofing one.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would have made it public eventually, but, like, it got shut down
beforehand.
Yeah, because, like, I know, like, a lot of times when I was in Boston and stuff, like, doing, like, looking up payphones and stuff, like, I wanted to know what switch these payphones were in, and it would have been nice to just send an SMS, you know, over my track phone and just find out, like, in an instant what switch it was on, you know, and know where the switch was located and stuff. So it's really convenient to have a service like that, you know?
Of course, instead of having to call, like, telco data or something, right?
Right, exactly, exactly. Exactly.
You have to, like, call, like, three fucking phone calls.
Yeah, it's like sometimes I want to call telling me to pull drop in directions, but sometimes it's a pain in the ass to do that over the phone, especially when I have, like, my motor running really loud. So I'll just want to, like, you know, like Google. Like, you know how Google has their, you know, they have the Google SMS, which is 466-453, which is spells Google. They have that short code. It's totally free, and you can pull driving directions as one example. Telme's got their own too. They got, what is it, 83556 or 63, something like that. There's a lot of good ones out there if you look for them.
Really, Telme has one? Because I always thought of them.
Yeah.
Like more voice, you know, like everything done over voice. That was
right. But they had it even before Microsoft bought them. But now that Microsoft bought Telme, they actually have a lot more services they're bringing. And one of them was the new business search that they have. When you call the 800-555-TEL, you can do a business search for, you know, look up businesses. And they have this new ringtone feature. I forget how it works. I haven't really checked it out yet. But, yeah, they have an SMS-based service for Telme and for Google. So you might want to look that up after the show. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Google one's really cool. Hey, Lucky, you want to talk about this ringtone thing now?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to get into.
Awesome. Yeah.
Royal, I think you'll be fearing this.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a tiny URL shortcut to this, basically it's like, you type in your cell phone number and they offer you ringtones or whatever. When you type in your phone number, it asks you to confirm your wireless carrier and it'll tell you what wireless carrier a particular phone number is using, or actually what carrier it's using, period, regardless of whether or not it was ported.
Right. What the big deal with this one is, though, is right now, anyways, the service is broken. So you can put in any number that should work, and it won't send you a text message to, you know, to send you something saying, like, hey, do you really want to subscribe to these ringtones, and it'll cost you $10 or whatever. So it's broken. It's not doing that right now. You can put in anybody's phone number, and they won't know that you're doing it. Like,
oh,
usually
wow.
You would be able to do this, and it would send a message and it would tell you the provider, but it's broken, so it doesn't. And that's what the coolest part of it is right now. And it works on ported numbers even.
That is really, really cool, because, you know, this number portability, I mean, this was talked about, like, you know, years ago, like when number portability was new and all the problems and that with it. But yeah, like, it really makes it hard to determine a carrier. So, I mean, if you can identify the carrier by an exchange or a 1000 block, I mean, that's great that now you can actually know for sure what carrier it is and whether or not it was ported.
Right. You can just call, like, NewPack.
Anyway.
Call what?
Impact, no, anyway. NewPack, wherever the fuck you are.
What are you talking about?
Don't drop docs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
So that's kind of like, for the phone, that's kind of like the whole email address lookup.
Dude, we're not talking about that either, dude.
Oh, yeah, we're not. That's bad.
So, yeah, me and Lucky were testing this before we started recording, and we figured out that it doesn't work on landlines perfectly, but it worked for me on a couple of ported cell phone numbers. So it does, in fact, work.
Supposedly.
And
do they all work that way? Do the majority of them work that way?
What, the ringtone stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, they all work.
I have one, like, a million ringtones and shit, but I never go to those sites.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that a web application can determine the phone provider by querying some database out there on the web.
Yeah, but if you think about it, these ringtone companies have to have stuff like that because they're doing reverse billing through this stuff, you know? They're charging your phone through this.
Right, but the fact that it's done through a web query, and secondly, that it's displayed to the user.
Yeah, well, it's because it's in the URL string, so they're not
right.
Being very sneaky about anything. They could hide it, but they're not.
Yeah, definitely.
So Savant actually did a shell script for this. It's posted on the BinRev forum. If you want to check it out, the tiny URL is tinyurl.com/3. A is in Adam, S is in Sam, H is in Harry, G is in God, X is in ecstasy.
X-ray, you know, but ecstasy doesn't start with an X.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
You guys need to learn the native phonetic.
Yeah.
That's what I use.
X is in xenophobe.
X is in
X-ray. X-lax.
X-lax, okay.
that URL one more time.
3-A-S-H-G-X.
Hold on. As you guys are done, I just want to drop one really quick.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it just came to mind, so I figure I might as well make it public now. I'll probably make a post later about it because I have been delaying on it. But I did find out something pretty cool, and I haven't really gotten anyone to test this in other areas, but it should work in Verizon territories. Maybe not everywhere, but you might want to give this a try. I was bored one night, and I decided to go to Nampa. For those who don't know what NAMPA is, their website is NAMPA.com. It's the North American Numbering Plan Administration, and they assign numbers and other numbering resources in North America, the U.S., Canada, and the U.S. territories. Well, I was looking up all these carrier access codes, and for those who don't know what those are just, you know, those format 101XXXX codes, you know, like those dial-arounds and stuff you hear about. So I looked up every code for Verizon, and one of them that I knew about, and I didn't realize it could be used anymore for dialing formats, was 1010-698. So, for those who don't know, I'm very into payphones, and here in Massachusetts, and there are some states where this is still true, directory assistance, 411 or 1-NPA-555-1212, directory assistance is free of charge if you look up a number within your LATA. You know, in other words, don't look a number that's long distance, or they won't allow you to do it on a payphone. However, I found this interesting. If you're on a non-Verizon payphone, and you, say a COCOS, for example, and you dial 1010-698, followed by 0-NPA-555-1212, it will connect you to Verizon Directory Assistance for free. And, of course, you're still going to get the same restrictions. You know, you can't look up a number outside your LATA. You can't do reverse directories, and there's something else that you can't do. But you can definitely look up normal numbers within your area and, you know, area code information, you know, the common things that normally you would be able to. Now, I found another way to do this, and this is also pretty interesting. There's another carrier access code. Well, there's a couple. I haven't tried both of these, but their Verizon long distance carrier access code is 1016-963, and in case you can't remember that, it's 101-NYNE, which spells 9X without the X. So it's 1016-963, followed by a 0 or a 00. And when the long-distance operator comes on, all you got to do is tell the operator, can I have directory assistance, please? And she'll connect you, and she'll probably sound very happy to do it, too. They're very nice operators. And they'll connect you to directory assistance, and it's as if they don't even know you're on a payphone. And sure enough, free directory assistance once again.
Hello,
so,
operators.
Hey, you guys might want to check that out, see where else it works. It definitely works around here in Massachusetts, so you know, see where else you can do it. Just remember the restrictions I told you about.
Nice
little tidbit there, Royal.
Yeah, a little bit of candy.
Talk about VoIP carriers real quick.
What about VoIP carriers? They suck.
Exactly. Vonage is tanking after being, like, the number one topic for the past, like, 4 years.
So many people hate them.
Yeah, from what I heard.
Oh, you know what, dude? Hold on. You're going to have me going off on a fucking tangent now, dude.
Okay.
Let me tell you about Vonage, okay? They send their calls overseas to people that barely understand English, okay? If you call
Mike and Jack.
Yeah. If you call in there, you can social engineer anybody's address information. Anything on the account can be social engineered just by letting them verify who you are by asking what your name is, and then letting them verify the address on the account by basically you giving them a false address, and they'll be like, no, are you sure you don't live at da 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 da? And
so sad, easy.
Yeah, it's Vonage is really sad. You can change the email address on the account And the sad thing is you can change the email address on the account to a fake one first and then tell them, no, I didn't receive the email. Can you change it to this one and give them a real email address? And the subscriber will only see the first email address change, which will be a fake one. And then the second email, you know, when you have them change it again, the email address notification will go to the fake one. So they'll never see your real email address. Their account password has been reset. You have total access to their Vonage account.
You did this on your own account, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
I did it to my own account because it was in my wife's name and she wasn't around, and I had to, I couldn't remember, you know, what exact name was on the card and everything. And, you know, they just like went ahead and like didn't even care about the fact that, like, you know, my name is not Alexis.
You don't know what they're doing to people on the network side that's really messed up?
Oh, hold on. Speaking of networks, this was the second point I was going to get to with Vonage. let's just say I found a website. I'm not going to drop it, but this website basically gave me all the network operation centers for every telephone provider in the United States, and Vonage was one of them. And I was opt-diverting to Vonage just to see if it was really Vonage's Knox phone number. And, like, so I go to hang up, and I call my friend, and I three-way in the operator again. I tell the operator that I'm special and I need assistance dialing Vonage's Knox toll-free number. And so it rings twice, and they answer, "Vonage Knock," and I hit flash to hang up. The operator seizes my line. I can't flash back or forth. The call is totally three-wayed, but flash just is not working. The operator's, like, seizing my line. And the operator just, like, gives out my home telephone number to Vonage Knock for no reason. And, like, next thing I know, I finally get the line to clear by hanging up completely. And next thing I know, my home telephone number is, like, ringing in the middle of the frickin' night. And, yeah, it's, like, annoying.
What's it say?
Well, Vonage was calling my house back, and they were like, you know, "Yeah, you're going to stop playing around, da-da-da-da-da." I'm like, what the hell? Well, then later on that night, I go to place another opt-diverted call, and they're telling me that, like, they have special instructions not to assist me with toll-free numbers. And I ask for the supervisor, and I'm, like, very upset. They're giving out my personal information. The supervisor basically tells me to fuck off and hangs up on me.
Right.
And, yeah, it was very annoying.
They love you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I'm very glad you brought that up, Lucky, because I've been having the same exact problem. Well, not all the same exact problems, but, yeah, I mean, like, especially with, you know, being a landline user, you know, one of the ways to keep, you know, keep your privacy and or anonymity when placing calls, I mean, you know, you have to off-divert because...
Example, ordering a pizza.
Ordering pizza, okay. There's
right.
There's Grayer is one example. No, but seriously, I mean, whether it's a toll-free number or a local number, I mean, seriously, like, off-diverting is more of a necessity than ever because there are so many numbers out there that people own, whether they're you know, hosted by VoIP or just on POTS. But the point is, so many people are receiving the calling party number, like, beyond, you know, not just call ID, but they're receiving your number. And to keep your privacy, you know, you should be able to, you know, have an operator place your call. Thing is, you know, these operators are really, you know, you're getting a lot of the same operators. It's like they're understaffed or something, and they just, a lot of them give you an you know, a mean attitude when you tell them you're special and need assistance in dialing a number. And it just sucks because, you know, we don't have the easy way of off-diverting anymore ever since AT&T got rid of that, even though they aren't exactly the most trusty carrier to do that with. It was a very convenient service to be able to just dial the 1010-2880 and then, you know, off-divert the easy way, hassle-free, but that's kind of gone now. So, yeah, you're definitely not the only one who's been having operator troubles, Lucky, believe me.
Yeah, so that's my tangent, blah, whatever.
You're not
on the network side. What they're doing is, say you port a number in there,
Oh, no.
Or you get a number from them, and you port it out of their network to another provider, and another Vonage customer tries to call your previously number that was ported into Vonage's network number, they're going to get, like, a not-in-service message because Vonage doesn't release it from their, like, enum shit that they do.
Oh, yeah. Well, we already knew this. The whole fact that you can tell Vonage, hey, I want to port my cell phone, and you can give them anybody's phone number, and Vonage then sets the enum so that any Vonage subscriber who calls your cell phone, regardless of the fact that no letter of authorization has been sent to Vonage yet, it'll ring your Vonage number instead of your cell phone. And you haven't even, like, sent a letter of authorization in yet. And it'll show your cell phone number on the outbound caller ID. But, I mean, this could be anyone's number. Like, I could port your number. I could say, yeah, I want to port Gray Area's phone number to my Vonage account. They'll be like, oh, okay.
That's fixed, though.
You know?
That's been fixed, though. I mean, this is just straight up, like, when you take your number from them, they don't really release it. I mean, when people from the outside their network calls you, that's fine. It goes through. But when people within their network tries to call you, they get, like, a not-in-service or a reorder.
Oh, I see. And you're saying the other problem that I was describing has been fixed since when?
Yeah. Since when I was working for that other ISTP, that's what I was being told then.
I don't think it's been fixed.
A lot of people say it's been fixed, but has it really?
I haven't tested it. I don't know. I mean, that's just what
until somebody
I was hearing across the table.
Until somebody says that it doesn't because they tried it and it didn't work, I would say that.
Right, because as of at least July of last year, at least, I had actually tried to port my old BroadVoice number to Vonage, and the same thing was happening. People who called the BroadVoice number on the Vonage network would get me instead of my BroadVoice number. An outbound caller ID from Vonage would show my BroadVoice number, even though I had never sent in a letter of authorization.
Right.
3 years later, and that trick still works.
Yeah, you know, and that was at least from last year. Now, if it's been fixed between July 2006 and to date, I don't know when that fix ever occurred, but as far as I know, that fix never occurred.
Maybe the fix is, like, a person that's just an idiot that's putting through LNP requests.
Maybe
the issue, I should say.
Vonage is doing terrible, though. $3 a share. Their stock's down so much. And,
yeah, Verizon didn't really go down a lot. How much was that?
No, Verizon owned them, man. Verizon owned the shit out of fucking Vonage.
The whole patent thing. Yeah, their stock started, I think when it launched, it was $16. And so anybody who bought it at that, they lost $13 a share.
Damn.
Packet 8 stock is like a dollar and something right now.
Oh, good. Don't even get me going on Packet 8. Just
okay, Sun Rocket, they're not doing too good from what I hear. But it's pretty clear now to everybody that the cable companies, you know, because they can bundle everything, because they're the ones who offer you the high-speed lines.
Yeah, Verizon is competing very well with their Fios, and they're going to start offering TV through Fios.
AT&T's doing that shit, too. Like, not through Fios, but AT&T's getting into, like, TV.
Yeah, they're all getting into it now. Now they have they got the speed, they got the bandwidth.
Yeah, it's just all pretty
neat. And what's the difference between Vonage and BroadVoice in opposed to the whole Verizon thing? Like, why? I know that Vonage was, like, the main face of voice over IP in residential terms.
Oh, no, it's because Verizon sued Vonage for patent infringement.
But what did they patent? Like,
did you say Vonage sued Verizon or
no,
the other way around?
No, Verizon sued Vonage, and they won. And they won a ton of money. They won, like, $45 million.
What I'm saying is, what was it that Vonage did that was different than the other voice providers? Does anyone know?
It was so broad that, like, I didn't even understand what they were talking about. It was just so vague.
Yeah.
It was just the way that they were, like, switching the information?
Yeah, it had something to do with that, because I think it has to do with the whole, like
device level, or
it was a way
I don't
to
know
call
if it was devices, or
you know how, like, on Vonage you can't three-way until there's answer supervision or some fairness.
Yeah, that's what a lot of hotlines, though.
Well, I know, but this is on Vonage on a voice over IP line.
I don't know.
Was that what it had to do with? Was it signaling?
I don't know. That's what I was thinking, but I could be wrong.
I want to know is who are these people that are sitting on these juries, like, making these decisions? Are they, like, even qualified, or is it, like, Joe Schmo that works at the mechanic shop and he got pulled in for jury duty?
That's a good point. That really is a good point, because I can imagine how many people are ignorant to all this stuff, you know.
So, anyways, anything else?
Who's going to DEF CON?
I'm going to DEF CON.
I might be going.
All right, I'm going.
Lucky, you know you want to go. Come on.
Lucky, I know I want to, but, you know,
you got to go.
I'm rolling out of my little cardigan.
Well, I'll definitely be there. I'm leaving the day before. I'll probably get there. I forget what time I arrive at night, but I'll be there, most definitely. I'm trying to convince a lot of people. I've been talking to some older school freaks lately on a different conference, and some of them are going.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm trying to get as many people to go.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely try, but I don't know.
Lucky, you definitely know some of these freaks. Man. You, like, some of these freaks I've been talking to, man, they know you from way back in the day, dude.
All right, well, I'll try to go. I mean, no promises, but I will try.
All right. Actually, there is one thing. About the whole thing I was mentioning about the free directory assistance, I forgot to mention. You might also, if you don't live on the east side, you might want to try the other long-distance carrier access code for Verizon, which is 1015 GTE or 1015-483 and then a zero when you ask for the long-distance operator to transfer you to directory assistance. Because if the 1016-963 or the, you know, 1019X without the X, if that one doesn't work for you, you can definitely try the former GTE one, which is 1015 GTE and then a zero. You might want to try that one too. I forgot about the other.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and try both of them later on. But
yeah, since you live over on the west, you might want to give that a try, Lucky. Let me know if that works.
Yep.
Hey, Lucky, have you seen the phone-related talks for DEF CON yet?
Yeah, there was the Z Phone one by Zimmerman.
Yep.
And I think there was one other one. I can't remember.
The hacking.
Yeah.
The hacking the what?
Hacking EVDO.
Oh, nice, EVDO. Yeah.
Yeah, that one sounds fucking sick.
There's only like one or two VoIP-related ones, and everything else is just security.
I didn't see any VoIP-related ones.
I think there was one about SIP. There was one about SIP, so.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
I don't remember what it was. But yeah, like ThinkDog posted the link to the DEF CON page, and it's got like all the talks there so far. And they're going to keep updating it, so you have to keep checking it for the new speeches and whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I remember when I was a speaker there, they moved the position so much. Like, Gray Area was supposed to come and see me speak, and we were supposed to speak on a Sunday, I think, and they moved our speech to Saturday. Gray Area shows up on Sunday, and he's like, yo, where the fuck's Lucky's speech at, yo?
Dude, that reminds me of Hope. Yeah. Dude, last year at Hope, man, so much shit got delayed, canceled, and moved, and all was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Oh, damn fucking ridiculous.
Fiber optics thing got all screwed up, and he...
Yeah, I know. We had to wait like an hour for Fiber optics to do his speech. That was a really good speech, though.
He lives in New York, though, you know? It's like, how much harder can it be to get there? Like, people flew from around the world to go there, but he lived in New York.
Hey, you know what's funny? Today at Boston 2600, a couple people, well, one person said that he used to go to New York 2600 meetings, and then he visited Boston. I don't remember what his handle was or his name was. I'm so bad at remembering names. Thought that was pretty interesting. I know he used to go to New York 2600.
All the time.
Yeah. Right, anyway.
You want to wrap things up? I got... quick website announcements, and then we'll wrap it up, I guess.
Word.
All right. Project Walmart Freedom got a new dedicated site today. We're just launching it now. And it's projectwalmartfreedom.com. And Duel and Ponyboy worked on it. And they put all the stuff from the text file onto a nice little website. And it's laid out really cool. So
oh, word.
Check that out.
Yeah, speaking of which, I'm working on getting VerizonFears.com up. Probably be another couple of months because I'm, like, lazy as all hell. But it should come back up. And I'm also going through another web host, which is Made, M-A-D-E, 2, the number 2, own, O-W-N.com. So definitely got to give them, really got to pimp them out because they're just leaked, so blah.
The Funny Crackers spot, huh?
Yeah, that is. It is.
And for anybody who's noticed, my Freakavids site's been down for like a month now. I'm switching over to domain now, so it's going to just be a couple more days, and it'll be back up. Most of the stuff's on YouTube now, even though it looks kind of crappy. But, yeah, freakvids.com, V-I-D-S. It'll be back up in a couple
days. Do you have a YouTube channel page
for that? No, I don't. I could set one up, though.
You should make one.
Yeah. I just don't like it when you put, like, those videos onto YouTube because they're almost smaller than, like, the native YouTube video size. So it's going to enlarge them
right.
And make them look shitty, like that Kevin Poulsen one.
Oh, yeah, so they're in, like quick time and stuff, huh?
Yeah, that one's actually in, like, some weird format. And I updated Old School Freak, and Eyeball sent me some stuff. So,
oh, that's pretty cool. I'll have to check that out. I didn't know you updated it again.
No, yeah. I'm working on updating it right now. It's not up, but it will be. And
what's it about, if you don't mind me asking?
You'll see.
All right, whatever. Tease me, fuck you.
So, all right, and I guess that's about it. Go ahead and give your shouts, Anatis, and we'll wrap this up.
All right, shout out to the whole DDP, to you guys, Doug, Kirst, Lacutus, Lance.
Yeah, don't mean to cut you off, but speaking of which, Doug TV Episode 6 is in filming progress right now.
You going to have a cameo appearance?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. So, yeah, Lance, Strom, haven't talked to him in a while. Eyebox, he keeps sending me stuff, and DJ Mollusk and Sub-Zero. Shout out to all you guys and anybody keeping it real in the hacking scene.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to give some shout outs to Thought Freaker, dude. That kid is fucking elite.
Yeah, most definitely. Big shout out to Thought Freaker.
Oh, yeah, dude. Anyone who says freaking is dead, dude, this 15-year-old kid can frickin' own you, man.
Yeah, you know, we got to get a lot of the old school stuff and the new school stuff, you know what I'm saying? Got to keep it alive, man. We need the freaking scene. I mean, at least in my opinion, this freaking scene really needs to get, like lively again. It's not dead. Just people need to get motivated again and do stuff from the old to the new, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
We'll get out there and conference and stuff, man. Shit.
That's where it all goes down, the conferences.
Yeah, you got to get the conferences going, man. Fuck, we got to get that shit going back again sometime, man. I really miss that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's that one conference that a couple people know about that's back up.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah, we need to keep that stuff alive.
Check the FinRev forums, and maybe we'll have more. Private message some of us, and we'll be able to give you numbers.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So you got some shouts? Is that it?
Yeah, you got any other shouts, Royal?
Let's see. I want to give a quick shout to Elf from 9X. He's an old friend of mine. He got me into the freaking scene. I hope you're doing well. I know you're having some tough times right now, but hey, you know, I haven't forgotten about you. And just, you know, the BinRev. Hope, you know, we got to get some people posting on BinRev again. And I don't know. Everyone else, a lot of the names have already been shouted out. Shouts to Paramount also because he's been keeping it real and. I guess that's all I can think of right now. Everyone, seriously, everybody, you know? Just get motivated. Shouts to everybody, man.
Yeah, shouts to Klops, man. Rest in peace.
Oh, yeah, well, okay.
We just want to thank you for listening. It's been probably like an hour and a half now. And we don't
know
very often.
And hopefully Grand Central is still recording.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But, So, you know, we don't do the show very often. We don't really know when we're going to do it again. That, you know, keeps it fun. Maybe it might be 8-8-0-8.
Yeah, there's nothing like an annual show to keep.
But if you've listened this far, you're elite. And hope you enjoyed it. And if you didn't, then you don't have a lot to lose because we only do it once a year.
That's right. And one last big shout to Ron Paul.
Oh, God.
RonPaul2008.com.
We just hit the cribbo. I'm curled up on this pillow. I'm still low. Heard the ill news. These niggas killed Mo. The shit touched me. Trying to chill. Just lit a duchy from a while back. Same foul cast. Tried to bust me. Caught him sleeping. In Spanish Harlem with some Puerto Ricans. Up in Washington Heights. Right off the deacon. Phil Morphe speaking. For some V's and fill the phone. Staff alone with gas. Left with a vest to watch my own back. Keep your eyes open. Stay wide.
I touch down tomorrow, son. Well, stay on point. Don't even use a phone. Just come to my crib, yo. Word up. Out.